This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.
Kia ora and welcome to MS Momentum. My name is Katie Burns. I'm the Community Connector for MS Otago, and MS Momentum is our monthly podcast on ORFM, talking about all things that affect people with MS across the Otago region. Today I am talking again with Dr. Jeremy McMean, an optometric physician at Supervision in the United States. Dr. McMean has presented at both the 19th and 20th international conferences on Alzheimer's and Parkinson's diseases and related neurological disorders. He has found the cause of macular degeneration in Alzheimer's, Parkinson's and multiple sclerosis, and he has over 30 years of practice in the United States of America. So this is part two of our two-part series of talking with Dr. McMean. So if you haven't yet had the chance to listen to the first episode, I really urge you to go onto orfm.org.nz, have a search for MS Momentum, find that part one, because part two is going to make a whole lot more sense if you go and listen to part one first. And so go do that and then make sure you come back and listen to this episode. But thank you again, Jerry, for talking with me again today. We had such a great chat last time and it was very fascinating to learn all about your research and kind of what started that and where it's led to. Really thank you again for your time on coming and chatting with us again today.
Yep. Thank you very much for having me back again.
So, because these are always short episodes, they go so fast, I'm gonna launch straight into it today. What other neurological conditions does your research relate to? We've talked about Alzheimer's and Parkinson's and multiple sclerosis. And I know with a lot of neurological conditions, there's often a lot of crossover. I'm just curious what other neurological conditions that you might have looked into.
Well, I've looked into a lot of different ones, but my main focus right now is macular degeneration, Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, and MS. And the reason I'm concentrating on that is I'm an optometric physician, so I want to focus on the eyes. But as I studied macular degeneration, it showed me that it absolutely was linked to Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, and MS. So I spent the last 5.5 years doing this research, and I've been very fortunate to have a chance to speak and present my papers and my audio at the International Conference in Vienna, Austria, last year. And I presented in Copenhagen, Denmark this year. And then I'm going to get a chance to present at the World Neurology Conference in Florida, in Miami, Florida, in September.
That's fantastic. It's such a great opportunity to get your research out there to the top people in the world who are looking at these different conditions. That's fantastic. Yep.
And I want to help New Zealand. I want to help Australia. I want to help people in the world to understand the true cause of these diseases.
Yeah, absolutely. And I can tell you, as someone from New Zealand, we often feel a little bit left out of these things and these conversations, being away from everything at the bottom of the world. It's really, really great that you've come on to talk about the stuff with little
I'm
old
not
New
gonna
Zealand.
I'm not gonna leave you guys out.
Thank you. We appreciate that.
All right.
Sometimes we're not even on a map. So it's great when we're not left out of the conversation, for sure. So what would you advise to someone who has a neurological condition and is experiencing macular degeneration?
You know, I want them to be aware that when you have macular degeneration, you're also showing these neurological diseases, Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, MS, you're showing some form of it in your brain as well. Doesn't mean it has to be bad yet. We don't want it to be bad. Mm-hmm. We want to treat you before it gets worse. Because if you don't treat someone early, when you lose that central nervous tissue, you can't replace it. So when I see my patients and they've got macular degeneration, I'm watching them as they're reading the letters on my chart and they're holding the occluder. If their hand is shaking, I know they're showing early Parkinson's. So I know it's already there. So I know I have to treat them, but I will, if they've got macular degeneration, I'm already treating them. And so it's absolutely important that they get on a treatment early. Mm. And I know I talked to you in private about treatments, but I just want to let people know it is treatable. We can help people.
Fantastic. And so basically what you're saying is the macular degeneration comes first and then the yes. neurological condition comes after. And so are you seeing people who have macular degeneration, have early signs of a neurological condition, but haven't yet been diagnosed with a neurological condition?
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely. So optometric physicians, ophthalmologists, we're going to be at the forefront of all this. Mm. And so is dentistry. Dentistry is going to be there as well. But we can see people, and if they're showing early signs of macular degeneration, and the early signs is the calcium hydroxyapatite that shows up in the macula. If you're starting to show that, and what I tell my patients, that's a sign that you've had or currently have a viral bacterial infection occurring in your body. And when it shows up in the eye like that, you have to start treating them early. And so it's so important for people to understand if they have macular degeneration, we've got to start treating them so the other diseases don't get worse.
Mm. Yeah.
Okay.
And is this people of ages across the board? As in, are we mainly looking, I mean, MS affects people generally between 20 and 50. Parkinson's obviously is, and Alzheimer's is obviously generally significantly older than that. So
you think. You think. Katie,
yeah,
you
no,
do.
I'm well aware that there's, you know, different always differences in that.
Right.
But
you're
yeah.
seeing the numbers. I know over in England, the numbers of people that are getting Alzheimer's, it's not the highest numbers aren't the elderly. It's age, believe it or not, it's age 40 to 60.
That is surprising.
So you know, and the leading cause of death in England right now, England and Wales, is Alzheimer's.
Wow, it's the leading one now.
It's the leading cause of death. Wow. These numbers are skyrocketing.
Mm, absolutely.
And so I told you earlier, but I just want people to be aware that these numbers are increasing, but I want them to be aware too that they are treatable. But I need medicine. I need the medical community to understand what COVID is doing to us and why these numbers are skyrocketing.
Right. Yeah. And,
okay.
You know, we've talked about, and COVID's been around for the last 6 years.
That's right.
Do you think that there's been an increase in numbers even before that? Even like before COVID came along, or?
I think the numbers were
COVID's boosted it that much more.
Yes. Right. Yep. COVID definitely increased it and made it about four times more aggressive. So, but these things can happen with just any RNA virus, but the flu, RSV, those viruses can kind of kickstart things too. But really COVID, that RNA virus has really got things going. And I kind of say this to my patients. I always tell them that, you know, COVID is the flu virus on steroids. Okay. It's just more aggressive. And when I try to paint this picture for my patients, I tell them, when you get a virus, it wants to get in your body, it wants to get into bacteria. But it doesn't mean that it's just that virus. You can have multiple viruses in a bacteria and make it even worse. And so I just want people to be aware of that as well.
I think we've seen an increase in those kind of, what they call super bugs, or, you know, in the last 20 or so years, there's definitely been an increase in those very extreme kind of viruses.
Yeah, and you know why we're having a resistance to antibiotics? If you think about our antibiotics, most of our antibiotics are DNA antibiotics. So you've got your penicillins, your fluoroquinolones, your cephalosporins. Those treat DNA bacteria. But when you pick up COVID, that's an RNA virus. It's changing the DNA of your bacteria in your body to RNA. So when you go to treat someone with a DNA antibiotic, a lot of the time medicine's saying, well, see, you've developed a resistance. It's not working. No, you're not treating them with the right antibiotic. That's why azithromycin, doxycycline are very, very important antibiotics today, because we need to be able to treat people correctly and understand what type of bacterial infection they have.
Yeah, absolutely. We are just going to take a super quick ad break and we'll be right back.
Okay.
MS Otago aims to empower people with multiple sclerosis and their support networks by providing them with information and skills to participate actively in the community in ways that are meaningful to them. You can find us at Dunedin Community House and online at msotago.org.nz. Or you can give us a call on 027 889 9035. MS Otago, working for the people of Otago.
If you are just joining us, this is MS Momentum. My name is Katie Burns. I'm the Community Connector for MS Otago. And MS Momentum is our monthly podcast on ORFM. Today we are talking again with Dr. Jeremy McMahon from the United States, who has been doing a lot of really interesting research in macular degeneration and how that links to neurological conditions, particularly Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, and MS. So this is part two of a two-part episode. So if you haven't yet, please, I really urge you to jump online or fm.org.nz, search for MS Momentum, find the part one of this episode and go listen to that, and then jump on and make sure you listen to the rest of this episode as well. So, Jerry, before the break, we were talking about, macular degeneration, how that affects people. And mainly you're seeing this in Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, and MS. And so I'm wondering, how is macular degeneration often picked up in people? Is it they go to their optometrist and then they find it, or, how do people even know that they have macular degeneration?
Yeah, you're correct. I mean, a lot of people, they go to their optometrist, their ophthalmologist to get their eyes checked. Initially, if they go in, they may be complaining of a visual problem, but a lot of them aren't. And so we're going to pick it up early and just explain it to them. Like in my practice, I have a wonderful piece of equipment. It's called an Aiden. So when I take a picture of the back of their eye, I can see if they're starting to show this calcium hydroxyapatite in their macula. And then I can actually show them and explain to them what is happening. So to me, that's very, very important to let them know. And before we're done today, I just want to mention to you about MS. I want to talk to you about MS and what is truly happening to the nerves. So I talked to you earlier about these odontoblast cells, and they work on alpha defensin, beta defensin, and nitric oxide. Through the alpha defensin, it makes the alpha synuclein protein. Through the beta defensin, it makes the amyloid beta protein. The nitric oxide causes cell death, so it causes things to happen there. But what it does, nitric oxide really affects greatly the mitochondria in the nerve cells. So it can really affect that. And that's where it's really affecting these people with multiple sclerosis. And so I just want the medical community to understand that your alpha-synuclein protein, your amyloid beta protein, and the tau tangle proteins, or the fibrils, those fibrils are the microtubules of these odontoblast cells. So the fibrils are actually the spreading of the odontoblast cells growing and spreading out. That's what those fibrils are. And yes, they'll wrap around nerves, and yes, they'll affect things. But again, what is this whole process? It's trying to repair your tooth. Those odontoblast cells don't know they're not in your tooth anymore. So this is happening in that brain tissue, and that's why it's wreaking havoc on our body.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because, you know, it's always like the cells think they're helping, you know, think they're doing their job, right? But it's just they're in the wrong place. They're where they're not supposed to be, and so therefore they're causing damage.
That's correct. I mean, they're incredible when they're in your tooth trying to repair your tooth and take care of that. But once those odontoblast cells get outside of your teeth, it wreaks havoc on our body.
Yes. Yeah. And I imagine that's almost like anything, right? Like in our bodies, if it's not where it's supposed to be, it's probably not doing anything good for us. And you mentioned last episode, and I just wanted to talk a little bit more about, I know you have a book coming out. So when this episode goes to air, I believe your book will be available for people to buy, which is fantastic.
Yes.
And obviously a book that's a huge accomplishment. So first off, congratulations, because that's great.
I'm excited about it.
Yeah.
Katie, I'm excited. And I talked to Krista, and we're going to be able to get that book out. And I'm hoping it's going to come out at the end of July, beginning of August. But I do want to get that book to New Zealand. I want to get the book to Australia and over to Europe and the United States. But I want to get that out there so people can read it, get the public talking, and get the medical community talking. And I hope I can get the medical community to start researching and really look into this.
Yeah, and that was going to be my next question, is what's your hope for the book? And that's really just to get your research out there and for people to be aware of this thing that's happening or potentially happening in their bodies. Yeah, and so then they can make an informed decision about what to do with that, right?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, yeah. And do you know yet where, like, how the book will be available? As in, will it be a physical book? Will it be ebook? Will it be audiobooks? Do you know?
It's going to be a physical book. It'll be through the internet. Mm-hmm. And so it's going to be both internet and a physical book. So
perfect. That's also really important for accessibility, right? Because, you know, not everybody can have a physical book or can read a physical book. So, yeah, I think it's really important to have those different types of or different ways that people can access that really important information.
Yeah, and I'm excited about it because the publishing company said, yes, they'll be able to get it out there and it'll be easily accessible to people.
That's perfect. And your book, I know you've said, you know, you're really interested in the public reading it and the medical community reading it, but sometimes there's a bit of a disconnect between what the public might understand or might have prior knowledge of and what the medical community understands and has prior knowledge of. And so I guess I'm wondering, is a book written in a way that kind of anybody can read it and understand it? Or is there
In my mind, yes. And that's why when you look at my papers that are in this book, when you read it, you may not understand all the words per se, but the big picture of it, the main thing about this, I just want people to understand that it is truly a viral bacterial infection with these odontoblast cells. But the reason I need the public to have it, to understand it, believe it or not, the public is very powerful when it comes to trying to talk to their physician and talk to people and to try and understand these things. I need the public to be aware of all this so they can try and present this to their physicians and get the medical community talking and doing the research to understand all this.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. And I think, yeah, there's a real big thing in people power. And and I've talked about this on the show before. And I think we really need to kind of get away from this idea of health care in terms of like the medical community takes care of our health for us and we just do whatever they say. And I think we really need to center ourselves in our own health care and what that looks like and what's important for us. And yeah, I think just having the public involved in that or having people, everyday people involved in those conversations, I think it's very powerful and very important. So I was quite pleased when, you know, when we talked earlier, when you said that, you know, your book is not just going to be available for the medical community, it's going to be available for the public as well. I think that's really, really important.
Yep. And I truly just, I want to help people. I want to help people. And, you know, I've been doing this for 30 years and I just need to get this information out there. And, you know, I'm excited to hear from my colleagues. And I know this. This is reality. This is life. So I'm going to get some positive feedback and I'm going to get some negative feedback. But that's medicine. That's just the way it is. But if I can get them talking and get them doing the research, then I've done what I wanted to do.
Yeah. And that's a really important part, isn't it? Is that this can be a springboard for other research and other and deeper conversations. Yes. And all these other wonderful things. Yeah. That need to happen. So, yeah.
Yep. Absolutely. And I really want medicine, when they do this research, I really want them to understand, and this is getting into detail again, but microglial cells in the brain. Medicine thinks that they're activating the formation of calcium. I want them to look and go, no, microglial cells are preodontoblast cells. They physically look similar, but they're not activating calcium. They're actually making the calcium. So I want medicine to understand this is the process that's occurring, and it's from these odontoblast cells.
Perfect. We are unfortunately out of time. And so thank you again so much, Jerry, for talking to me both today and last episode. I think that your research is it's very, very, very interesting. And I'm very excited to see where your research is going to go next, because I think this could be big, big news in the world of neurological conditions.
Katie, I thank you very much for having me.
Thank you so much. You've been listening to MS Momentum, brought to you on the third Wednesday of the month by me, Katie Burns, Community Connector for MS Otago. You can listen again to this episode and find other podcasts from this series at oar.org.nz and on your favourite podcast platforms. To contact MS Otago, you can email info@msotago.org.nz or call us on 027 889 9035. Thanks for listening.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.